ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 समन बोनन चैप्टर 18 लॉर्ड बलराम स्लेस द डीमन प्रलंबा टेक्स्ट 30 टू 32 विद 30 टुगेदर दृष्ट्वा प्रलम्बं निहातम् बलेन बलशालिना गोपासु विस्मिता आसम् साधु साध्वैतिवादिना दृष्ट्वा प्रलम्बं निहातम् बलेन बालशालिना गोपसु विस्मिता आसम् साधु साध्वैतिवादिनम् दृष्ट्वा प्रलम्बं निहातम् बलेन बालशालिना गोपासु विस्मिता आसम् साधु साध्वैतिवादिना क्लिश्चन् दृष्ट्वा सीन प्रलम्भं प्रलम्बसुर निहितं किल बलेन बाय लॉर्ड बलराम बलशालिना हु इज बाय वेरी नेचर वेरी पावरफुल सॉरी हु इज बाय नेचर वेरी पावरफुल Gopaha, the cowherd boys, Subishmitaha, most astonished, Asam became Sadhu, Sadhu. Very wonderful, very wonderful. Iti, these words, Vadinaha, speaking. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The cowherd boys were most astonished to see how the powerful Balaram has killed the demon Pralamba, and they exclaimed, excellent, excellent. Text number 31. Ashisho bigrinantastam bri Vigrinantastam prashashanshustat arhanam pretyagatam iva lingya prema bihvalashetasa. Translation. They offer Balaram profuse benedictions and then glorify him who deserves all glorifications. Their minds overwhelmed with ecstatic love, they embrace him as if he had come back from the dead. Text number 32. Pape pralam benihate deva paramanivrita abhyabar sambalam malyai samsasu sadhu sadhuiti. Translation. The sinful Pralamba having been killed, the demigods felt extremely happy and they showered flowers flower garlands upon Lord Balaram and praise the excellence of his deed. Purport. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami to the 10th canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Lord Balaram Slays the Demon Pralamba. Omagyana timirandasya gyanan gyana shalakaya Chakshur ummilitam yena tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Ramapada Swami Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashupyari Bancha kalpa taruvya sha kripa sindhu vyeva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. So this I have to pull, how you say, pull it out of your hat, the class, like that, because I assign Navin Krishna Prabhu, but I didn't send him the text message. So I was assuming that, you know, and so my fault. So here I am, having to face this task with no preparation. So please bear that in mind. The immediate thing that comes to mind as reading this final part of this pastime is this most bewildering feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by which he sometimes forgets himself and then goes from this position of being bewildered and then realizing, oh, wait a minute, you know, realizing his position, his God. So the fact that even the personality of Godhead, by his own arrangement, sometimes forgets himself in his position. So we see that this in Lord Balaram, when he actually felt some fear. The Goswamis explain the nature of this fear. And we read about it. But the fact is that he was confused. What's going on here? Why is this cowherd boy is not taking me to the designated, you know, place that we decided? This is part of the game. Why is he going this way? Is it taking me away? So he was confused. And then in that bewilderment, he experienced some concern, some fear, and then he makes himself very heavy, and then this demon comes to light. And then when this demon manifests his actual form, then that's when Lord Balaram goes like, it says here, he experienced this fear, which is quite something. Let me see. When Lord Balaram, who carries the plow weapon, saw the gigantic body of the demon as he moved swiftly in the sky with his blazing eyes, fiery hair, terrible teeth reaching towards his scowling brows, and an amazing effulgence generated by his armless crowns and earrings, the Lord seems to become a little frightened. Like that. And this is Lord Balaram. I mean, Lord Balaram is known to be sometimes, you know, carried out by his temper. He's very chivalrous, that's how you say. That when it comes down to showing his powers, he's, you know, no shy. He will immediately, you know, react to punish whoever displeases him. The example is how Lord Balaram killed, what's his name? Huh? Ramaharshan Sutta. Like, he became displeased by Ramaharshan Sutta attitude towards him, and he immediately punished him by killing him. So, you know, Lord Balaram is is known, the word that Balaram means powerful, the reservoir of all powers. And he is becoming apparently frightened and bewildered. So how can we explain that? How can we understand that? I mean, without the help of the disciplic succession, the Vaishnava Acharyas, there's no possibility. It's just confusion. Therefore, without the blessings and the instructions of the Vaishnava Acharyas, we consider Krishna and Balaram as ordinary people, ordinary men. So in general, there is this very confused ideas of people that outside the shelter of the Vaishnava Acharyas, to understand the absolute truth, to understand the past, and to understand the Bhagavatam, and to understand philosophy in general. It's just confusion. And the conclusion at the end is that, yes, Krishna is an ordinary man. Manushanam sahasrasu. That when he comes and performs his human-like pastimes, foolish people misunderstand him as to be one of them. He's one of us. I experience fear, he experienced fear. He experienced this, I experienced this and that. But they miss, Krishna says, his transcendental nature as the supreme controller of all that is there. So it is not simple to understand Krishna. It is more it is much more simple or understandable to worship Lord Vishnu or to worship, you know, powerful controllers. But to understand Krishna is very difficult because Krishna's human-like pastimes. And Krishna, in this case, Balaram. They're always controllers. They're always not just controllers, but the supreme controller. Nothing moves outside the control. So in all circumstances, they're the supreme controller. Although appears that they're playing a part in pastime, even appears that they're bewildered and confused. Krishna also displays this pastimes of being confused and forgetting about himself. When the cowherd boys enter into the mouth of Agasura, Krishna was, he was feeling not only concerned but confused. Why are they doing that? Stop, you know, like that. So the Vaishnava Acharyas explains that this is the act of Krishna's potency. And Krishna is compared, Krishna and Balaram is compared as a great actor. We sometimes see that actors, very good actors, they absorb so much themselves into character that they forget themselves. And they experience all the feelings, all the emotions, and the mentality of the character. That sometimes, you know, I have friends that were actors, and after, you know, a season that they play, you know, in theaters, in which they have to absorb themselves in this character, sometimes they have to, it takes a little time to go back to their regular sort of, you know, it's almost like you have to, what do you say when someone comes out of an environment, you decompress or something like, you know, like that. Hey, can you turn off this fan? Thank you. So Krishna and Balaram are compared to actors, and in the performance of the pastime, in order for these pastimes to actually fully take place, they follow the character. And it's not fake. You know, they're experiencing the emotions. And it facilitates this beautiful pastime. Because the cowherd boy is also, although they're with Krishna and Balaram every day, and although they see the extraordinary qualities and activities of both of Krishna and Balaram, they don't understand. And this covering of this non-understanding of Krishna and Balaram's position allows this deep, deep, deep love to fully manifest. So we hear, we read here that the cowherd boys were in awe and astonished after they saw Balaram's actions of killing this demon, this gigantic, horrible demon. And they embrace him and praise him and bless him like, you know, he came back from the dead himself. And this happens regularly with Krishna. After Krishna chastises Kaliya, the cowherd boys and the whole inhabitants of Vrindavan, there was like the life came back because they were afraid that Krishna would be destroyed by these demons. So this is the actions, what is called of Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya. Maya is the potency of the Lord that covers one's knowledge and understanding. And that potency works both in the spiritual and the material realm. In the spiritual realm, perfected beings, perfect souls, when they're afflicted by this potency, they forget Krishna's position. They can recognize him. In the material world, conditioned souls, they are afflicted by Mahamaya. Mahamaya also takes away the capacity to understand and recognize Krishna. So therefore, it is essential for conditioned souls to understand these principles from Krishna's representative. How to understand Krishna? And Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna gives us the guidelines in the Bhagavad Gita, what to look and what is that we have to receive. To learn anything, we look for a teacher. You look for that source of knowledge. But if you go to a place of education, you have to know what it is there that you want to be educated for. You have to have an understanding. You have to have a sense. Krishna gave us that back, that guidance. He said, you can understand me only through bhakti. Bhaktyaman abhijanati. So, only through the devotee, only the devotee can give us understanding of Krishna. And there's no other way of actually receiving that. Krishna qualifies only through bhakti. Not through jnana, not through yoga, not through karma, but through bhakti, only through bhakti. Otherwise, impossible. Or almost impossible. This duratyaya means basically almost impossible. And Krishna explained that even for those who are cultivating knowledge, those who are powerful jnanis, it takes many thousands and thousands of lives of very, very powerfully endeavoring in this cultivation of knowledge. Thousands of lives. Bahunanjamanante jnanavan. When they come to the end of all knowledge, then what is the conclusion? Vasudeva sarvan iti. That Krishna is all. Samahatma Sudurlava. Such great personality is very rare. So we need to take shelter of the devotee. I realize I have a very succinct, let's just say succinct, realization recently. Because I'm exposing myself and, you know, trying to understand this whole yoga preaching and seeing, you know, like that. My spiritual master once mentioned to us that he favors preaching to college than to yoga scene. It's not negating one or the other, but he favors one. And he says that in the yoga scene, there is something that makes it, that is a big obstacle that slows down the results in terms of people coming forward and embracing full-heartedly Krishna consciousness. And he says that the poison of impersonalism is there, and it's all pervading in this yoga scene. So sometimes you get exposed to the mumbo jumbo, kitri of all kinds of, like, I mean, it's almost like comical ideas of the absolute truth and reality and philosophy. It's a combination of impersonalism, atheism, silliness, you know, it's all these things mixed together and then put in a package that is so confusing that it's an impossible thing to understand and to apply, and what to speak to apply. And these are, you know, like famous and well-established teachers of yoga. And then they quote from famous, well-established, so-called transcendentalists. One of the favorite ones is Osho, which, you know, we don't need to speak about, you know, the embarrassing things of, you know, these different so-called transcendentalists, but they are, you know, those who, you know, their teachings prevail, the philosophy of yoga for those who come to search. Because there's a constant, right now I'm finding that there's a constant stream of people that are looking for these alternative ways. And they come fully open. And these are not just, you know, the sort of hippie type of people that, you know, in general, hippies are looking for experience. You know, there's, you know, it's an experience. An experience is like another experience, a high experience and things like that. But these are very just regular, well-established, you know, people. I'm finding that professionals, actually a lot of professionals, just regular urban professionals, they're looking for very educated, well-prepared people. And they're coming forward with open arms. And then you observe them receiving this mumbo-jumbo of, like, silly ideas that makes absolutely no sense. Really, absolutely no sense. And they don't question. They're just accepting it. Which is also mind-boggling because, you know, you say, I'll give you an example, something that I heard. Speaking about this and glorifying this refined knowledge of the Vedas. Like, extremely refined and advanced that in comparison to modern thinking, is actually very expansive. And in terms of, you know, medicine, astrology, social, you know, all, an overall presentation of a wholesome type of living. Very, very advanced and refined. With a refined sense of communication, a refined sense of philosophy, science, all this refined knowledge. And because it goes back in time, so then you put it into the context of the modern history of human existence in this, that scientists has put forward, you know. So is supposed to be a very primitive society that in that primitive setup, then there is this refined knowledge. So then you question how, so for example, in those times, you don't need to, people didn't write because it was too difficult for them to chisel things in stones. So it would take to put all this knowledge in a stone, you know, because there's the idea that back in these primitive times, you know, the primitive man would chisel things in stone. So, you know, you can only, I guess, like the Egyptians, you have to do little, you know, drawings of things. It's a much more primitive way of communication. But you have all this refined, but anyway, like that. So you can question, you know what I mean? It's all kinds of questions that comes from this presentation. So that is the situation out there of trying to understand, you know, just the cosmic manifestation, the absolute truth, the purpose of life. So what to speak of going and understand the personality of Godhead in his most intimate displays of existence like that. Impossible. So therefore, he urges us to actually take our place into providing people that are there, that are coming forward, looking for these answers and looking for guidance to give them the proper understanding. That is the mission of Srila Prabhupada, which is given to him by his spiritual master, the disciplic succession, all the way to Lord Chaitanya. Because that's the purpose. The purpose is that everybody gets the opportunity to uplift themselves to the proper understandings of things. So, in conclusion, I find, you know, it's just very wonderful to hear this amazing, beautiful pastimes of the personality of Godhead under the guidance of the great Vaishnava Acharyas that allows to have entrance into this blissful experiences, and aspire also, fill us with the desire to go back home, back to Godhead, back to our loving relationship with Krishna. Any comments or questions? Jai Balabhadra.
Thank you for hello. Thank you for your class. Made a lot of wonderful points. You were mentioning that. I'll kind of try to connect it to your last point too. You were mentioning Rama Harshana Sutta pastime. I really like that pastime because it says that Lord Balaram killed Rama Harshana Sutta with a blade of grass, and Prabhupada says that. Of course, ordinarily, nobody could kill anyone with a blade of grass. But since the Lord is the supreme controller, he can do anything is possible. And we see this in many pastimes, that those who aren't humble as a blade of grass are defeated by those who are. Durvasa Muni wasn't humble like a blade of grass, so he was defeated by Ambarish, who was. Hiranyakashipu wasn't humble like a blade of grass, so he was defeated by Prahlad, who was. So I kind of appreciated those pastimes. And regarding, I'll kind of connect this to your last point. You says when we listen to the Vaishnava Acharyas, this allows us to delve into these pastimes when we follow their guidance. And one thing I appreciate about Mukunda Datta Prabhu when he came here, because generally we have a preconceived notion of who can help us, Vaishnava Acharyas. And Mukunda Datta, Prabhupada's disciple, when he was gave a class, he made a very wonderful point. He says, we should all seek a Rasika Vaishnava, you know, the Vaishnava Acharyas or, you know, in our community who really has a taste to help us. However, he says he's learned from his whole life in Krishna consciousness, 40, however many years, that we can learn something from everyone. We may not be able to learn everything from one person, but we can learn something from everyone. And we see this in the pastime. Maybe you could expand on it, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchalila, chapter 5. This is regarding your last point. Pradyumna Mishra went up to Lord Chaitanya. He says, my dear Lord Chaitanya, I want to hear Krishna Katha from you. And the first verse of that chapter describes Lord Chaitanya as a physician. And when Lord Chaitanya was asked this question, Pradyumna Mishra, he says, I cannot help you. I don't know anything about Krishna Katha. Go to Ramananda Roy. And Pradyumna, long story short, Pradyumna Mishra saw that his character was questionable. He went back to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya essentially said, Ramananda Roy, he's your proper blood type. Just like if you go to the doctor, you say, doctor, I need a blood transfusion or organ transplantation. And the doctor will say, I cannot help you. You need to go to somebody who doesn't have a PhD, who's your proper blood type. And we see this in so many pastimes that we have this notion of who can help us. And so my question is that how can we develop this humility of having a nice relationship with Vaishnavas? Actually, I may not look for everything in Krishna consciousness for you, but what's wrong with speaking Krishna Katha? If we have this conception, oh, you know, you're not a PhD, but we see that any person can help us as far as, so my question is that there's so many pastimes like this where we have this conception of who can help us, and we may be proud, oh, they can't help us. So how can we develop this humility before, like Durvasamoni pastime, Hiranyakashipu, before the Lord forces us to develop this humility in a very embarrassing situation?
Yeah, I think the answer is by association with those type of Rasika devotees, you know, advanced devotees. In general, they have that quality. You know, the devotee is capable of seeing their spiritual master and Krishna's behind everything. So nothing is, you know, a random thing. Everything is connected. So they see Krishna's, they see Krishna, because they see Krishna in everything, they're able to receive Krishna's message to everyone. So we have the example of Viva Mangala Thakur and, you know, several devotees who have, I mean, there's the, who was the one who was explaining about the 24 gurus? Or, the Avanti Brahmana, you know. So when you actually reach that position of you elevate yourself to Krishna consciousness, you can see the lessons that come from every, you know, all the things. If we're not in that position, we need the spiritual master to help us discriminate. So in one sense is this balance of discriminating and also being humble, cultivating humility. With humility, one learns to appreciate. You try to appreciate where the person is coming from. And you start to learn to look at the heart of the person, you know, rather than to see the different external things. So so you can always learn, you know, the part of the training that we're given is, like, I always like this instruction of Ramanujacharya, that a devotee should be like a rooster, like a stalk, and like salt. Remember? Huh? or like a chicken. He say a rooster or a chicken, you know. So the rooster, a devotee is like a rooster because a devotee, you see a rooster or a chicken, they always, you know, they're in a pile of rubbish, but they're picking and they're able to discriminate the grain from, you know, whatever rubbish is there. So they find, you know, the little pieces of food in a pile of rubbish. So they're expert at finding, you know, the good. So we learned, we get trained by the devotee, by the Rasika Bhakta, to actually also being able to find good, even in a pile of so-called rubbish, you know, like that. And being able to discriminate like this. He is like a stalk, because the stalk, it is explained that it's always finding, it's always looking for the big fish. And it doesn't get distracted by small fishes. So it stands very still. And also many little fishes are passing through. He's waiting for that big fish. And when the big fish comes, then he grabs it. So the devotee doesn't get distracted by superfluous things. All these things that have no great value. But he looks for those wonderful opportunities. Very expert on that. And the devotee is like salt, because although salt is such an important element in the preparation of food that enhances the flavor of everything, you don't see it. You don't see it, and even it doesn't get much appreciated. Because people usually say, oh, wonderful. What spices do you use? No one says, what salt do you use? Or what kind of salt, you know. Someone say, what vegetables, what spices, how tasty. You know, all of this. But you don't put salt in the preparation. It's like, salt is what puts it all together. So the devotee is like that. In the background, the devotee makes all these facilities for everybody else to shine. So we get trained like that. Obviously, in our neophyte position, we're just learning to be like that. And we, you know, sometimes we messed up, sometimes like that. And the spiritual master gradually is molding our character by ordeal. You know, in the association of devotees, we learn too. Because in the association of devotees, you have other people that are also cultivating that. And then, you know, at times we have these difficulties among ourselves, clashes among ourselves. But because we're under the umbrella of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnava Acharyas, then we all gradually being corrected to understand and appreciate each other and learn from each other. So it's a matter of growth. It's a matter of maturity in our Krishna consciousness. And we look forward to that. In our situation, we cultivate. We cultivate those qualities carefully. And then when we find ourselves in a position of having some distress or having some negative emotion, then we can step back and analyze internally and understand that is something that I'm not applying right. So you start to go back to the basis. The basis is, you know, Trinada Pisunichena. We go back to that. We go back to that. We go back to that. You know. And then try our best. You know. And gradually one point we're gonna break through. We will break through. It is guaranteed. Okay, thank you so much. Karantara Shiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.